Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829-623-1889 or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, or wherever you're picking up this program today and share with you the living Word of God. Just before we get into the ministry of the Word, I just want to take time off to share some basic information with you about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries, and we are located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Every Tuesday, we partner with Prayer Sanctuary, and we have prayer and Bible study from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So even if you listen to the program, you have time on a Tuesday, and you want to come to the same location and participate in the prayer and Bible study, you can come and have a good time in the presence of the Lord. Then we will be beginning healing schools on Thursday from 11 to 12, but we haven't started it as yet, but that is something that is coming. Then our next service is on Friday evening at 7:15 to 8:30 p.m., and then back to Sunday morning at 9 to 11. So if you have been listening to the program, it's a blessing to you, and you want to come and be part of one of the services, do come and fellowship with us. You want to get more information about the ministry, check out the ministry website, FOGWM.org, which spells Focus on God's Word Ministries, and check it out. You will get all the information you want to, and you will be able to connect with us and we with you. Now, we want to get into the study that we have been dealing with. We have been dealing with misconceptions about prayer. And our foundation text is Jeremiah 33, verse 3, where the Spirit of God through Jeremiah said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Then in Matthew 7, verse 7, he says, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." And what these set of verses just did is let us know that God is a prayer-answering God. However, it is possible that when it comes to prayer, we can pray amiss. Praying amiss is what James speaks about in James 4 and verse 3. In James 4, verse 3, he says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." Now, their amiss was that they were asking based on lust. But many times we ask and we ask amiss, and it's not based on lust. And one of the reasons for asking amiss is because there are misconceptions about prayer. And what we do is we want to identify these misconceptions. So we dealt with misconception number one, which is ending your prayer with "if it be your will." Most people, their misconception in prayer is that every prayer they pray to and petition God, they end with "if it be your will." So they're not sure it's the will of God for them to have what they're asking for. And they pray that way and they think that is the right way. But that is a misconception in prayer. A next misconception in prayer is always asking God to cleanse us from sin before we ask Him for anything. Always, every prayer is a repentant type prayer where you're asking God to cleanse you from sin before you can ask Him for anything. And we dealt with that extensively. Okay, now we want to move on and we want to look at something else here again in reference to prayer. We want to see a next misconception. And this misconception is this: always adding fasting to your prayer in order to get results. Hear me, this is a misconception in prayer. Always adding fasting to the prayer in order to get results. I've heard of so many Christians who began to petition their Heavenly Father and were having problems, and they will stand up in church and testify that they went on a 30-day fast, 40-day fast, 10-day fast, and then God came through for them. And the impression that is left is that that is the number one key to getting answers to prayer. And I could hear some of you listening to me right now, and you're saying, yes, Pastor, that is the key. You're supposed to do that in order to get answer to prayer. Well, I beg to differ a bit. You know, as a minister of the gospel, I've had more than one person told me that sometimes I can come across a bit controversial. And it's not that I plan to be controversial. It's just that I think for myself. And because I think for myself, I try to let the Word of God affect how I think, affect what I believe, affect how I believe. And when I see something that is not going the way it should, I tend to question why it's not working the way it should. And sometimes I don't think in Christianity we question why things don't work. We just embrace the stuff and come to the conclusion that God don't want me to have it, or if it were, God wanted me to have it. And I think it's much deeper than that. But that's just me. And I see this as a serious misconception that in order for prayer to work, I must add days of fasting with it. Now, there's a particular verse of scripture that is used to demonstrate or to confirm this truth. And it's found in Mark 9, verse 28 and 29. In Mark 9, verse 28, it says, "And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could not we cast him out?'" Well, let me see if I can take this a little further so that you can get the context. So let me mention to you the context of this statement. This lady brought her child to the disciples and asked the disciples to cast the demon out of the child. The disciples were not getting results. Then the child was brought with the lady to Jesus, and Jesus cast the demon out. After seeing this, the disciples now begin to speak to Jesus, but they do it privately. So this is why in verse 28 it says, "And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And it says in verse 29, 'And he said unto them,'" listen to what he said to them, not to everybody, to them, "'This kind come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting.'" And you see that last phrase, "but by prayer and fasting"? This is the phrase that people use so that once they seem to not be getting results, they are quick to add fasting to the prayer because Jesus told the disciples you couldn't cast out the demons because of the particular kind of demon, and it would not have happen unless they were in prayer and fasting. And I've heard people say that, you know, when you're dealing with demons, you need to be always in fasting because, you know, you don't know what type and kind you are up against. But here's the problem we have in the body of Christ. We tend to not study the Bible properly. You see, the Bible addresses three groups of people. Number one, it addresses the Jews, the Israelites. Number two, it speaks to the born-again believer. And number three, at times, it speaks to the Gentiles, those that are not saved, the unbeliever. So the Bible really addresses three categories of people: the Jews, the church, and the non-church. Okay, and when you analyze this verse, number one, Jesus was not speaking to the church when he said, "This kind cometh forth not by prayer and fasting." Verse 29 said, "And he said unto them," he was speaking to his Jewish disciples. And he did not make the statement universal. Whenever you study in the Bible and it says whosoever, it means that Jesus is teaching a universal principle. Once he doesn't use the phrase whosoever, he's not really teaching a universal principle. He is specifically speaking to a specific group. And the specific group was Jewish disciples. And it says, he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. So that particular kind, you had to add prayer and fasting too. Now, there are many other reasons why, which we want to look at. Go with me to Mark 16. And in Mark 16, let's look at verses 17 and 18. Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. Now, remember, keep in mind Mark 9, verse 28 to 29. Keep that in mind. Let me read that again. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, in Mark 16, verse 17, let me take it from verse 16. It says, oh, let's take it from verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me just camp here for a bit. Again, and I really want you to, I hope you're in your homes, you have your Bible open, you have your copybook open, and you're taking notes with me. Because in Mark 16, verse 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Then in verse 17, it says, now these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. So here the Bible tells us that in his name we will cast out devils. Yet in Mark 9, verse 28 and 29, they could not cast out the devil. Well, the question is why that is so. Well, what you have to understand is that Jesus only defeated, hear me, Jesus only defeated and paralyzed and brought to naught the works of Satan in his death, burial, and resurrection. You get me? So before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Satan was not a defeated foe. That's one. Two, the name that is above every name was not his to give to the body to use until after his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I know everything I'm saying here has to be taught, and I don't have time to go into all of that. So I'm saying some things, so you just have to write it down and grab it. But hear me, the name that is given to the body was not given before his death, burial, and resurrection. You getting me? After his death, burial, and resurrection, the name was given. So the Bible said there is a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, and so forth in the book of Philippians, that wasn't given. So when we see here in Mark 16, 17, that the believer shall cast out demons, it is on the background that Jesus has already defeated Satan. And the Bible says in Colossians, he didn't just defeat him, he made a show of him openly. So he defeated him and made a show of him openly. You get me? He made a show of him how? Openly triumphing, being triumphant. So the Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. So he defeated them and he gave them now his name, and we use the name to cast out devils. Okay, so one of the reasons why they had to pray and fast is because Satan was not defeated at that time. Jesus had not conquered him, whereby he had to submit to the name of Jesus. You getting me? Two, Jesus hadn't given them his name, which is above every name, because he got his name by inheritance. He got his name by conquer. He got his name by being born into it. You understand me? Those things didn't happen. And then let me give you a third reason why. Why they had to pray and fast. Oh, boy. And you know, that one go and slip me. But I'll get it back. Just so my torch just went and it just slipped me. But so I'm just going to camp on the first two. One, the name. It was given. But only after. They were casting out demons before. So This is the reason for Jesus making the statement, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. But a whole lot of people, that is what they do. They add fasting to their prayer and assume that God would see them in these 30 days laboring without eating and so forth, and then say, oh, my child, you have been so committed to this prayer request, I will now grant it. You understand me? Now, I'm going to share with you an experience I had with the Lord in reference to the subject of fasting. You might have heard me share it already, but it's worth repeating. I was being questioned by someone in reference to a person who was very sick in a local church. And the person, and what I'm going to say again is controversial. I don't say things to be controversial, but it just happens to be controversial. The person said, in our church, we have this sick person, very, very sick person. And what we want to do is we are trusting God for the person to be healed. So we decided as a church that we are going to go on a couple days praying and fasting so that God will heal the person. As the person made that comment to me, I heard myself say, why are you all doing that? And the person responded, why not? And I heard myself say again, why are you all doing that? And the person responded this for a second time, why not? And then for the third time again, this is just coming out of my spirit. I just heard myself say, why are you all doing that? And again, the person said, well, why not? And then the fourth time I heard myself saying, what will praying and fasting motivate God to do that he has not done already? And that statement stuck with me. And I realized, listen, no amount of praying and fasting can move God's hands. Oh, Lord. Are you getting where I'm coming from? I mean, just think about it. The amount of prayer match we did wrong the Red House. You didn't think if Trinidad, if it was moving God's hands, he wouldn't have moved already? Oh, come on, Lord, drop your rocks and listen to me. Maybe is it possible that I learned some things and God has opened this avenue for me to share some things to correct some misconception? Drop your rocks. Don't take off the radio. Drop your rocks. The amount of prayer rallies and the amount of prayer, it has to have something more. Is it possible that as spiritual as we are, sometimes we are making spiritual mistakes? I think so. I have made spiritual mistakes. And if I have made spiritual mistakes, I'm sure there are others out there who have made spiritual mistakes. And we are in leadership, so it can happen. Things would have changed. So it means that there are reasons why something is not working. The amount of praying and fasting we are doing. You see, the motive for doing something is to try and motivate God to get him to do something. But what would praying and fasting motivate God to do that he has not done already? Is it possible that there are some things that we are fasting over that we don't have to fast over? I heard people fast so that God could bless them with a husband. Fast so God could bless them with a mate. Fast so God could bless them with a car. Fast so God could bless them with a job. Fast so that God could see. I think what we need to do is stop sometimes and go into the Bible and pay attention to what God has already provided. Anything God has already provided, you do not have to fast to get. Oh, Lord, let me say that again. Anything the Bible teaches that God has already says amen to, you do not have to add fasting to your prayer to get. Let me say it a third time. Anything in the Bible that God has already said yes, amen, it is so, you do not have to add fasting to it. For example, if it says by his stripes you were healed, you don't have to add fasting to your prayer to get healing. If it says that he will supply all your needs out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, you do not have to add praying and fasting for him to do that, because he already said he will do it. If it says that himself became poor that you might become rich, you don't have to add fasting to your prayer for him to prosper you, because he has already made provision for it. You getting me? So what you need, I normally tell people, go into the Bible and study the past tense of God's word. The past tense of God's word deals with what God has already provided. And anything he has already provided, the Bible teaches in the book of Romans that we have access by faith. It didn't even say we have access by prayer. Let me go to that verse. Romans, that's a powerful verse of scripture. I think it's Romans 5. Good. Yeah, Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So should I add fasting to my prayer life to experience peace when the Bible already tells me I have peace with God? How do I have it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what verse 2? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we stand in grace. What is grace? Grace is the spiritual law that God worked through to provide everything you and I would ever need. Therefore, God looked at your need and looked at my need, and he took care of our past need, present need, and future need. So any need you have for tomorrow, God has already met it. Hey boy, hallelujah. Are you understanding me? That's why it says we have access by faith into this grace in where we stand. So wherever you stand today, God has already provided for your need through grace. It's already met. So what faith does is access it. Now, he didn't even say prayer access it. He said faith, because there's a next lesson. In order for prayer to work, it must have faith. But faith could work outside of prayer. Prayer cannot work outside of faith. But that's a whole different lesson. So here's my point. My point is that we have to analyze these set of fasting that we are adding to prayer. I do not believe we are getting the results we desire. I think we are making mistakes and we need to go back to the drawing board. God, yeah. Listen, we have been as a nation in prayer and this and how many hours of fast, and we're still not seeing results. What are we doing wrong? Where do we need to make some adjustments? And when I say make adjustments, because from the time you say what you're doing wrong, the first thing people will start to quote for me is 2 Chronicles. If my people are quote that thing completely out of context and preach a sermon completely out of context and try to make it in context. Drop your rocks, drop your rocks. Relax and listen. Don't take off the radio, okay? But here my point. My point is that sometimes we need to review these things. It's possible we could be, I and all could be in error. That's why I have to come back and go back over and go back over and go back over and look at it and make sure, listen, boy, I am presenting this thing right, because sometimes that may not be the case. Now somebody say, yeah, but God led me into fasting. Right. If God led you into fasting for a particular thing, don't take that and make it a doctrine for everything. It's like someone I knew, the Lord led them into walking around their community with a prayer walk. And they were supposed to do it at the particular time. He told them he wanted them to do it. I mean, nothing is wrong. He led the children of Israel to walk around Jericho for 7 days. Yeah, nothing is wrong. If the Lord leading you to walk, go walk. Obey the Lord. You know, people were getting saved in their homes. People started to come to the church and so forth. They got so excited, they began to do that every year till it died out. Now, did the Lord say do it every year? No, but the Lord did say to walk around the community. Well, if he told you to fast and pray for a specific thing, don't take other things and add that same law to it, because he didn't tell you that about that. See, and this is where we have the misconception. This is how we pray amiss, because he didn't tell us to do that. You see, he has to have a reason why he is telling you to add fasting. I remember I heard one minister said, the Lord told him, listen, I've placed a healing anointing in your hand to minister to the sick. Anytime you find you're not flowing in that anointing as strong as I have placed it, then set some time aside to spend with me through praying and fasting. Good. So you understand the context of that. What's the purpose of that? To get him sensitized to the Spirit of God and the presence of God and the power of God that flows in his life for ministry. But we don't treat it like that. We generalize. Listen, I hope you're understanding me and you're not angry with me, because when you touch subjects like this, people are angry because I'm mashing on your toes. What I'm trying to do is to get you to think. I'm trying to get you to look into the Word of God and see what God has provided. What God has provided, you do not have to add fasting to your prayer to get. It is not necessary. And then yet still, that is what Christians do. And what they do after, if they do get results like this, they don't credit God's ability. You know, just credit how long they were in fasting. I mean, I'm telling you, they say, well, you know, yeah, God used me, man. I was, yeah, but you should have seen the anointing of God flow. And I'm talking more about ministers. God related them more. You should have seen the anointing of God flow, God real flow. But I went into 10 days of constant praying and fasting. So to let you know that the reason for the anointing flowing is because they went in. I kid you not that that may not necessarily always be true. But we are out of time. Again, I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and this has certainly been a joy sharing God's word with you. We want to hear from you. If you have a need to be saved, to be filled with the Spirit, speaking with other tongues, to be healed, or you want somebody to come into agreement with you in prayer, call us at any of these two numbers, 623-1889 or 746-0829, and someone will be there to connect with you. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web. Go to the webpage fogwm.org. Then we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into our ministry. It costs money to be on the air teaching God's word. This is not free. And if you have been listening over a period of time and it's ministering to you like so many of you do, and you meet me and tell me, listen, I've been listening to you. I know your voice, this thing, really good stuff. Keep it up. I want to encourage you to go and sow a one-time seed into our radio ministry account. You could go to any First Citizen branch. You could make a fast deposit into Focus on God's Word Radio Ministry. Account number 1758015. Account number again, 1758015. Be with you next time. Stay blessed. Stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.